realfaith.org.au.
One night, the elderly missionary leader, he just quietly challenged me, and he just said, "Chris, you know, we've really enjoyed having you here for a few days. We're amazed by the experiences you've had, all the things you've done, the places you've been at. But," he said, "son, you know, you're still searching." And those words, Eric, it just went into my heart.
Welcome to Real Faith, conversations about the impact faith has on our lives and the challenges we go through, helping us today and giving us hope for tomorrow. That's Real People, Real Life and Real Faith with Eric Scatterbo.
Well, on the last few programs, we've heard the incredible story of Bruno Frigoli, who was one of Mussolini's bodyguards before eventually putting his faith in Christ and becoming an amazing evangelist in South America. Then his daughter, Erica Grace, shared her story and how, unfortunately, she had a highly dysfunctional relationship with her stepmother, who regularly put her down. But, as we heard, they eventually reconciled, and we ended last time as Erica shared how her parents apologized to her and their relationship was healed. Now, one of the things that helped Erica heal from such a troubled childhood was her relationship with her husband, Chris Grace, from Sydney, Australia. And we're going to hear his story today. Chris Grace, welcome to the program.
Hello, Eric. It's really good to be with you on the program today.
Glad to have you with us, and we're going to hear your story today on the program. But before we get started with that, I just wanted to ask you, you were there when Erica was sharing about her troubled childhood. How did you feel hearing your wife share about going through such difficult times?
I have heard it before, a number of times, of course, over these years, more than 40 years that we've been married now, and it's always impacting, always a degree of sadness about that situation, but I'm very grateful that when we have Christ in our lives and just the help of the Holy Spirit and the help of God's Word, it really assists us to deal with issues from the past and to be able to be helped and to overcome them with time, Eric. So very grateful. And our relationship is just so important for Erica and I, for me especially. And it's been wonderful to see the degree of healing over these years, and especially when Erica had that reconciliation with her parents, ultimately, that was a real breakthrough, and what a blessing. A good way to come through all of that difficult period, Eric. Very grateful.
And before we get started, I just have to ask, what was your reaction when you found out that your future father-in-law had been Mussolini's bodyguard? I mean, what did you think?
I was just amazed. I've been amazed at all of that background, the story, to think how God intervened and in so many ways to protect him and to allow him to live, because, frankly, if Bruno had died, well, then my life would have been very different.
Yeah, exactly.
I would never have met Erica, of course. So just wonderful to see God's plan and purpose for Bruno's life and then how it carried out into the life of Erica and her other brothers and sisters.
Okay, well, let's hear your story today. It all begins in Sydney, Australia. How was your childhood?
Yes, look, grew up there in the 50s and 60s, with my basic schooling there, Eric, and when I finished school, went into an organization called the AMP Society, an insurance company, and worked there for 6 or 7 years in several departments: superannuation, investments, management, accounting. I did an accounting degree and also did some exams in the insurance industry. But I think in all of that period of childhood, I think one of the things that is worth mentioning at this stage is the fact that when Billy Graham made his first major trip to Australia in 1959, as a young lad of nearly 14 years of age, I went forward in one of the days of the crusade, Eric, and gave my life to Christ. And still have to this day all of the materials that the Billy Graham Crusade provided for the new believers.
Is that right?
Yes, I've still got all the letters and all the little booklets, and still look back at those with a great deal of interest.
Now, had you had any spiritual background before attending that Billy Graham Crusade?
Yes, fortunately, back then, nearly all children went to Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
So my parents did send me to Sunday school,
mm-hmm.
Which I'm grateful for now, to hear all the Bible stories. But I continued in a denominational church for some years, but look, unfortunately, by the time I started work, my interest in Christianity and in church had really waned,
mm-hmm.
Eric, and I turned away from the Lord in those years when there was just so many other things on, and I must say, not a great deal of interest from the church in me. There wasn't a strong youth group, and I don't recall any pastor ever making that personal contact. Unfortunately, my parents were not attending church either,
mm-hmm.
so I dropped off going to church and reading the Bible and even praying, and I just went my own way.
And speaking of going your own way was all over the world, is that right?
Indeed it was. When I finished my studies, by then it's late 60s,
mm-hmm.
and back then a lot of young Australians were traveling,
mm-hmm.
and the popular thing was to have a working holiday over in Britain. But mm-hmm. We decided, myself and some mates, to do something a little differently. We spent a couple of months traveling around Australia and then went to Africa.
Oh, okay.
And I spent nearly a year in Africa between working in South Africa as a tourist guide and then doing quite an extraordinary overland trip through the continent of Africa by land. And eventually moving up, we traveled down the Nile, got to Egypt, and then I moved through the nations of North Africa.
Wow.
And eventually arrived in England in 1970.
Wow, a lot of adventure there.
It was very interesting, quite amazing experiences. Some of them weren't all good. On one occasion, we were trying to get into Tanzania, and authorities picked us up and they accused us of being mercenaries from the Congo. And,
oh, wow.
And unfortunately, they put us in prison for a few days.
Is that right?
Which, yeah, was very unpleasant. And but look, so many interesting things. It was wonderful seeing the ancient civilizations in Egypt,
mm-hmm.
And things like that. And we met some wonderful people on that trip. But I doubt you'd be able to do a trip like that today.
Our guest today is Chris Grace, who's the husband of our guest last time, Erica Grace. As we've been hearing, Chris has been sharing about his journeys throughout many parts of the world. Next, we'll hear a bit about his spiritual journey as well and how he eventually found himself alone and disillusioned in South America. All that and more when we return right here on Real Faith.
The Word for Today is Australia's most widely read daily devotional, designed to give you practical teaching to keep you focused on your relationship with Jesus. Read it online or subscribe to the free printed edition at thewordfortoday.com.au.
You're listening to Real Faith, conversations with real people about how God works in their lives. If you want to know more about integrating faith into your life, our website is realfaith.org.au. Just go to the website and you'll find helpful articles about the impact faith can have on your life. Once again, that's realfaith.org.au.
Welcome back. I'm Eric Scatabo, and our guest today is Chris Grace, who's the husband of our guest last time, Erica Grace. Today, Chris is sharing his life journey, and as we've been hearing, Chris had a hunger for adventure in his young adult years, and so he left Australia to go traveling the world. But what he eventually found out was that all that traveling didn't fill the emptiness in his heart. Now we're going to hear more of Chris's story. Now, how did you eventually make your way to South America?
Well, I spent a year in England, getting further and further away from God, unfortunately.
Hmm.
I got involved with, humanism. I just was not interested, really, in God, nor church, of course, nor Christianity, and met a lot of people during these travels, of course, and Americans, and they invited me if I ever came to the States to please come. And I met some people from Peru, and they invited me also to come down to their nation. So, look, I continued traveling, Eric. I went to the States, spent a few months in the States visiting people that I had met on my travels, and I continued on down overland through Central America.
Wow.
And eventually arrived in Peru at the end of 1971.
You were quite the explorer.
Oh, I was. It was quite an amazing period, and again, many interesting experiences. But by the time I reached Peru, I was quite a hardened traveler. My money was running out, so I started teaching English in Peru. I lived in Peru for a year, taught English at the Catholic University and in a private college there. And at that stage of my life, I started to get involved with Eastern religions, studying Buddhism and Hinduism and the religion of the Sufis in Iran. And I was practicing yoga and meditation. I even became a vegetarian, can you imagine?
Wow, you were really like a flower child or something like that?
Well, I never considered myself a hippie, but my search for some meaning, for something to believe in, I guess, Eric.
Yeah.
I need to point out a little incident that happened during that period back in Australia. I had a terrible car accident in my father's vehicle, would you believe? I fell asleep at the wheel and crashed into a telegraph pole.
Wow.
And I can remember when I eventually got back into work, a Christian young lady that worked in my section, she said, look, God has protected your life and he's trying to get back into your life once again, but unfortunately, I made light of all of that, Eric, and I didn't heed that warning, unfortunately.
Yeah, but the seed was planted.
Absolutely. Oh, my word, it really was.
Yeah.
So here I am in Peru. I'm really searching. I'm seeking. I had a close-death experience in Peru, and very nearly I thought I had died and was just so grateful when I realized that that death experience...
What happened?
Look, I experimented with some substance, and I felt that I was dying.
Wow.
And it terrified me, really. I had this fear of death. And I also got very sick in Peru, Eric. I got hepatitis very badly, that disease of the liver, and it laid me up for 5 months. I spent a month in Lima's public hospital.
Yeah.
Which was not a very pleasant experience at all. And then 4 months to get over the illness.
Wow.
But at the end of that time, I was offered a job working in the jungle of Peru with a team of geologists from France. They were looking for oil. And so I went over there with them, and during our time back in the deep jungle area near the Brazilian border, we ran into some missionaries who were working with Indian tribes in that area. And the leader of the mission invited me. He said, look, when you finish your job here with these geologists, if you want a place to stay for a few days, come and live with us. They were living in a town out in the Peruvian jungle called Pucallpa. And so I went and stayed with them for several days, Eric. And by then, you know, I thought all religions were talking about one and the same thing, and it didn't really matter what religion you chose, so long as you were sincere, and I was trying to be sincere and trying to get to know God in my own way. But one night, the elderly missionary leader, he just quietly challenged me. It was quite late, it was near midnight, and he just said, Chris, you know, we've really enjoyed having you here for a few days. We're amazed by the experiences you've had, all the things you've done, the places you've been at, and what you think. But he said, son, you know, you're still searching. And those words, Eric, it just went into my heart.
Mm.
And I was just too proud to admit to Bert, his name was Bert, that that was true. And he said, son, what you need is an encounter with Jesus. And he said, I can't give you that, but if you'll pray to God, I know God will answer your prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was staying in a room outside the mission house. They had a room at the back of the property. Just before getting into bed, I got down on my knees, and it had been a long time since I'd prayed. And I said, God, if all of this that I've been hearing these days about Jesus is true, show me.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I didn't hear a booming voice or anything like that, but I felt God speak to my heart, and he used my name, and he asked me a question. And the question was, Chris, do you really think that you are not a sinner?
Hmm.
And I was amazed at that, Eric.
Yeah.
When you get into Eastern religions and all their writings and things like that, they don't talk about sin.
Hmm.
And I didn't think I was a sinner. But boy, that night, hearing that question from God, it made me really think and reflect about my life. And thinking back, I realized, my goodness, some of the things that I had done and been into. And I felt, too, at the time, as I'm there, just on my knees, it was as if God was saying, Chris, I've been trying to get into your life for years, and you've rejected me.
Hmm.
And I was feeling his love for me, Eric. And that night, I repented of all of those years of being so self-centered, living such a selfish life.
Mm.
I repented of that, and I felt, as I said, it was an overwhelming sensation of God's love for me, despite the years of rebellion. And I felt this almost an indescribable sensation of peace and joy. And I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And it was about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I remember saying to myself, I've got to tell somebody about this. So I ran back to the mission house, and I'm banging on the door, and Bert and his wife Marjorie came out, and they could tell, you know, that I'd had an experience.
Mm.
I'll never forget, they said to me, son, we just want you to know that when you went off to your room, we felt something was going to happen tonight, and we've been in our bedroom on our knees praying for you, interceding for you.
Wow.
Eric, that was a turning point in my life.
Yeah.
My reconciliation to Christ, and that was the beginning, I think, of a new life for me, and as I say, a turning point, and finally, yielding and allowing God to unfold and develop the ongoing plan and purpose.
Yeah. So what did you do next?
Well, I must say, the very next day after I'd had this experience, I had been reading the New Testament because they'd given me a New Testament. And I said to Bert, I want to know how all of this ends. And he said, well, you need to read the book of Revelation.
Oh, okay.
So I remember that was the first book that I read.
Oh, wow.
I think I read it all in a day, you know, because I was just so touched, so impressed. But I do remember, Eric, being impressed that I need to get into God's Word.
Mm-hmm.
And that desire and that blessing has been with me until today. Look, the Lord led me to the mountains of Peru, Eric. I worked in an Indian cooperative, helping them with some accounting work. I met a missionary from the Assemblies of God. I never knew anything about the Assemblies of God back then.
Yeah.
He helped me. He taught me nearly every night. We'd get together, have a meal, and have some teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually baptized me in water up in Lake Titicaca. One of the quickest baptisms I think I've ever known because it was so cold.
Yeah.
And there was a coup on and...
oh, wow.
So it was a very quick baptism. So then I set off decided to leave Peru. I was actually intending to go back to Australia, and I saw the rest of South America, again travelling by land. And when I reached Paraguay, I met some Assemblies of God missionaries again, and staying with them for a few days, this dear man, his name was Don, was getting ready to go back home on furlough, and he had been 4 years on the field. He was the field accountant, but he'd done no work with accounting records at all. His drawers and office was just full of little bits of paper and receipts and bills and everything, but he'd done no accounting work.
Oh, wow.
And so I turned up and I said, well, Don, if you're willing to give me a bit of room and board, I'll help you, you know, put all your books together. It took me 9 months, Eric, to get it all
nine
done.
9 months? Must have been pretty messed up.
In the end, I was, you know, changing nappies on the new baby and helping give bottles to the baby, and I sort of became one of the family.
Oh, wow.
It was a blessing staying with Don and his family and helping them. And then they returned to the U.S., and they, in the next year, 1974, they reopened a Bible school in Asunción of Paraguay. And I was becoming just much more interested in God's Word and Christianity, and I'd been meeting, you know, some wonderful people and visiting some churches with Don. So I decided to go into the Bible school. And they asked me to be the supervisor of the men's students, so I moved in with them into this communal, huge communal room where there were probably about 10 or 15 beds, and started living with them and relating with the Paraguayans. And they speak both Spanish and their own language, which is called Guarani. And in that year, 1974, about mid-year, Erica came to Paraguay to fulfill part of her mission course out of her Bible college in the States.
Oh, okay.
And this is where we first met. And Eric, I can still remember, because she stayed with missionaries, and the missionaries invited me around for a meal. And I'd been hearing through the grapevine a bit about this lovely young Italian lady.
Oh.
And we joke to this day, you know, I arrive at Joe and Margaret's house, and Eric is shyly in the background there, and they introduced me, and I said, so you're Erica. So that was the beginning of our contact.
Well, the circle is complete. We finally found out how Chris Grace from Sydney meets our guest last time, Erica, in South America. This is really turning out to be an international story, but it's not over yet, because next time we're going to hear their story as a couple and how God helps them overcome many of the challenges they faced being missionaries with very little income in South America. That's all coming up next time when we have both Chris and Erica sharing their story right here on Real Faith.
You've been listening to Real Faith, and if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a message through our website, realfaith.org.au. That's realfaith.org.au.
This program is a production of Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, see vision.org.au.